There's been a new development in the world's biggest art heist. 13 paintings stolen in March 1990 from the small Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum here in Boston. A music student moonlighting as a security guard, his thoughts on getting to a concert, says he let two policemen in and then they tied him up. Now, security camera footage from the night before the heist, which somehow had never been noticed, shows a man being let in that night before, and investigators say it could have been a dry run. Stephen Kirkchian reported the story for the Boston Globe. His book is Master Thieves, The Boston Gangsters Who Pulled Off the World's Greatest Art Heist. Stephen, what did you think when you heard about this video?
Well, it was stunning. And I think it has two very large implications. Rick Abbott, who's the night watchman who made the grievous errors, and he said it was just because of his negligence, of letting the bad guys into the museum the night of the robbery. Now his credibility in saying he had no involvement and had no knowledge of who they were is being tested, because the night before this just released tape shows he let someone in, and we know from the videotape, even though it's fuzzy and it looks to be the same kind of car that was used the night of the robbery. The reason why we know, the story has endless anecdotal delights to it. The reason why we know, that we believe it's a hatchback that was on the street that night of the theft, was because a couple of kids tumbled out of a party in the apartment building behind the museum, and they came upon the two men dressed in police uniforms in the car before the theft. They looked at the car and they said, "They're two police officers and it's an unmarked car, but it's not a Crown Vic as they usually are. What's that about?"
And now we have a video surfacing showing a hatchback and someone getting out of it.
What appears to be a hatchback.
The night before. Let's remind ourselves what happened that night. You mentioned there was a security guard, Richard Abbott. He let in two men who, it was revealed, were posing as police officers. He claimed that they asked him to step away from an alarm because, what, they were going to serve a warrant on him?
Yes, they made that claim, and he knew knowing he had never been arrested in the past, there was no warrant for his arrest, but he worried that if they did take him away that night for mistaken identity, he would miss that night's concert for the Grateful Dead. And he, in fact, hours later, after the robbery, after he'd been questioned by the FBI and all the police on the scene, he did go to the concert in Hartford and then came back quickly after the concert.
But there's always been some suspicion. There was a claim that his feet actually might have set off a motion detector.
The thieves' footsteps are seen, and they had a motion detector equipment inside the museum. The thieves' footsteps are seen only in two galleries, where they stole 12 of the 13 pieces. But in the blue room on the first floor, there are no footsteps, but there is a missing painting, a Manet Chez Tortoni. Rick Abbott says he had nothing to do with it. Yes, his footsteps were seen inside the blue room that night, but only because that was the first tour of duty as he did his patrols of the museum.
Well, look, you've spoken to Rick Abbott.
He's, on multiple occasions.
Yep, he's been very well known and outspoken. He went through college, told everybody, wrote a thesis paper about how he was the guard who was tied up the night of the museum theft. And now we have this new video. Why didn't investigators go directly to him? He's living in the open, instead of putting this out.
Abbott presumably has been questioned about this. They have questioned him time and again, and he said that they were even looking at his bank accounts throughout the 25 years that he's been out there. But no one had seen this other video from the night before. It raises questions. Why has it been buried for so long?
Why do you think that is?
My sense is that the FBI was chasing myriad leads. The phones were ringing off the hook. We don't know what Abbott has told the investigators, but he's not returning my calls or the calls or the entreaties of other reporters.
So what do you think happens now? Where do you think this goes?
Well, I do think the next thing comes to Rick Abbott. I think he has to make a statement. Who was that person he let in? Why did he let him in? And was he the same individual whom he described as coming, one of the two whom he described as coming in the next night? On March 18th, 1990.
Do you think there's any chance of this artwork being found?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do believe the artwork is in existence, hidden, buried somewhere. But the offer being made by the FBI of no prosecution and, in fact, availability of a $5 million reward that has been on the table for more than a decade, that hasn't turned the trick of getting the people to open up. I think the thieves who actually did this are dead. They were in a bad guy business. But there are members of the public who know pieces of information, and they have to be convinced, not for money, not for reward, to open up. And the reason why they need to open up is because those masterpieces belong back on the walls of that museum. Mrs. Gardner put these masterpieces there to inspire us to come up with an American tradition of art. If Boston is a world-class city, forget Olympian anymore, but if we're a world-class city, we do not let these masterpieces disappear.
The layers are incredible. Stephen Kirkjian, author of Master Thieves, The Boston Gangsters Who Pulled Off the World's Greatest Art Heist. He's also won 3 Pulitzers for his work as a Boston Globe investigative reporter. Stephen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, and glad to hear your interest.